Now, again, may I say that we are now geared into a calendar that is the calendar of the times of the Gentiles. The Lord Jesus said, Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. That's still true right at this very moment. Now, we're in those times here. Definitely so. It's not geared to a king of Israel or Judah, not geared anymore to the Davidic line. But the calendar now refers to them. And it's the first day of the month, and the month is the sixth month. Now, I have to say this to you categorically, because when you take the Jewish calendar, you will find that this is September the 1st, 520. Now, here's a book you can date very easily. And he says unto Zerubbabel, he is the political ruler, the son of Shealtiel. And Zerubbabel, as we said, means sown in Babylon, or he was raised in Babylon. He has a Babylonian name, by the way. He had been born in captivity. Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest. You have both the religious and the civil ruler mentioned. Verse 2, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Now, let's look at that for just a moment. Here's what God says the people were saying, and this is what they were saying. You see, when they first returned back to the land, they returned with great enthusiasm. The anticipation was high, and the enthusiasm ran high. But they met gigantic obstacles, which required Herculean effort and hardships. And after they went through a period like that, they became discouraged when they began to build the temple. The difficulties seemed insurmountable. And so they rationalized that it was just not the time to build. In other words, this was their pseudo-consolation. They decided to maintain the status quo. Well, it's so hard, evidently God doesn't intend us to do it. The foundation of the temple was laid, but the opposition of the Samaritans was so intense that they simply stopped the building. They didn't go on with it. And their excuse is, well, the time has not come. Now, this is going to hurt just a little, friends, because Haggai is going to put the knife in where the trouble spot is, I think, today in the lives of many Christians. Have you ever heard someone explain the fact that they gave up doing something, or that they didn't go someplace, or that sort of thing? And they said, well, the Lord's will was for me to do otherwise, or the Lord directed me to do this sort of thing. You know, that expression, that Christian cliche today, covers a multitude of sins. It's so easy when things get hard and they get rough to turn in a report to everyone and say, well, the Lord's leading me otherwise. Many a preacher, I'm afraid, that when the going gets rough in a church, and it's rough for the pastor today, my heart goes out to pastors who are really trying to serve God. But it's so easy to say, well, the Lord is leading me elsewhere. And if any of us that get on a hot spot, that's the answer we come up with. Well, the Lord is leading me elsewhere. Now, these people started building the temple, and the going was rough. You recall reading Nehemiah when they were rebuilding the walls. Look at the opposition that that man had when he tried to rebuild the walls. Well, they had the same kind of opposition in building the temple, and the people turned it off by saying, well, it's not the Lord's time to do this. Now, I remember when we attempted to remodel the church in downtown Los Angeles that I had served. In its long history, it had never been remodeled. And the seats in there 4,000 of them, by the way. They were built to take care of people 15, 60 years ago. And do you know that we discovered something, that people are about 2.5 inches wider today than they were 15, 60 years ago? That ought to tell you something, at least the people that go to church. So we got new pews and put them in. And cushioned pews, by the way. Lovely. And we had some very pious souls that said, well, we don't feel like money should be spent for cushioned seats. We should give that money to missions. Well, the majority of the folk wanted the cushioned seats. So did I. And so I made a proposition to those folk. I said, now look, what we're going to do is, there are many people here that are so enthusiastic about remodeling that they're going to give enough for their seat and your seat too. They're going to pay for both of the pews. And you don't have to give to buying a seat. You say the money should be given to missions. Now, come on, give $25 to missions. And I said, I'd hope that we can take up an offering today of several hundred $25 checks. You know that we got very few that day. You know why? Because the time hadn't come. It wasn't the Lord's will. And they never intended to give, and they used the excuse of not giving to the new seats because they said it should be given to missions. Well, if it should be given to missions, why didn't they give it? They didn't. And may I say to you that I've had the privilege in every church I've served to remodel it. That seems to have been my lot. I've never built a new church, but sure have remodeled every one I've been in. And I've always encountered that problem. There's always a little group. They're very small, thank God for that. And they don't do anything, but they're good at criticizing. And that was always the excuse. Oh, this money shouldn't be spent here on us. We should give it to missions. Well, why didn't they give it to missions? They didn't. Oh, this crowd here and Haggai just pulls the Band-Aid off and exposes the sore that's here. And you can be sure of one thing, this wasn't an ouchless Band-Aid that he pulled off. It hurt. You can be sure of this. Will you listen to what he has to say to them in answer to this? Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built.